Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise God. The Lord tells us in his word, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Glory to God. That's our redeeming God. We need his grace and mercy every day. It's a joy to be here with you in the Lord's house today. If you got your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'll give you a moment to find it. Once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. John 14, verse 1, the Lord says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not then believe me because of the works themselves, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your gospel, Lord. Help us to hide it in our hearts. We may not sin against thee, Lord, that we can live for you and follow you. Give me the words that to preach this morning, Lord. Give us all ears attentive to your word every moment of every day. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 1. First thing Jesus tells us in this chapter, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus is going to tell us how we get to the Father. And no one comes to the Father except through him, as he tells us. But the first thing he says, before we even get to that, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There's a lot of troublesome times in this world. As that old hymn says, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. We don't have to be filled with fear by the troubles around us, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here with us. And he tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. If we're looking around us, if we're focused on the world, there will be in a lot of mess in our hearts, in our minds. We won't be at peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. He wants us to be at peace. He gives us the peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. But so many of God's children are walking around this world without the peace of God, let ruin in their hearts, as the Bible tells us to have. The peace that passes all understanding. First thing Jesus tells us, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. It can be troubled by sin. It can be troubled by the ways of the world getting into your heart. What are you allowing in your heart? What are you allowing to enter through your mind? If it's entering through your mind, it's getting all in your heart. Your heart will be troubled if you're focusing on things of this world. You'll be depressed if you look around at the bleakness that the world shows forth. But there's a light through the Lord Jesus Christ all around us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Focus on the Lord Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we need to fix our minds on so that our hearts are not troubled. As he says here, do not let your hearts be troubled. But he says here, believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God, he tells us. We just confessed it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and the Apostles' Creed. He says here, believe in God, not in my God or your God or some God we've made up. But he says, believe in God, God the Father. With us, a lot of times, I've heard people say before that for each person, there's a minimum of three people with us, within us. There's the person you think you are. There's the person everybody else thinks you are. And there's the person we truly are. But with God, that's not the case. There's who he says he is, and that's who he is. But so often, people will have a different notion of who God is. It's not in line with the Word of God. It's contrary to us. So we'll be right back here in John chapter 14. But we're going to go to a couple places here and read what God says about himself, who God is. We can ask ourselves, who do you say God is? Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? And they had these answers. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He wasn't Moses or Elijah or anybody else. He was God's own Son. And God the Father says about himself. So we're going to go back here to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. And we'll be back there in John, but we're going to run to Exodus real quick in a couple places. After Moses made the new tablets, right before then, he cast the others away because he came down from Mount Sinai and the children of Israel had been worshiping idols. They made that old bowl out of the gold and all those bronze to worship it. And they said, this is what delivered us from Egypt. It was a lie. God told Moses, I'm going to make a greater nation out of you. I'm going to wipe them out. Moses prayed and God held back his wrath, power in prayer. But after that, Moses made new tablets. God commanded him to and did it. And comes down here in verse 5 of chapter 34 of Exodus. He says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Lord. That's Jehovah, God Almighty, the great I am. He says, the Lord. In verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, is what God says about himself. He says, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is what God says about himself. We're saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. This is who he says he is. He says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. Glory to God, he's merciful, he's gracious. Mercy is when he holds back his wrath of what we deserve, and grace is when he gives us the blessed gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He is merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger. Imagine if God was quick to anger. Bible bids us be slow to anger and slow to speak, but quick to love. If God was quick to anger, we'd all be in hell and the world would be destroyed. It'd be destroyed. A bomb just completely, utterly melted. It will be someday. But God is slow to anger because he's merciful and gracious. It says, and abounding in steadfast love. Steadfast love. Flowing love. It's not a love that's just here and that. It's love for all eternity. God loves you. He loves all people. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross. He's keeping steadfast love. He keeps his love. It doesn't waver like man's love. Steadfast love for the thousandth generation in the Bible. When 1,000 typically is not taken literally, it means an innumerable amount. Thousandth generation. That's a long time. I couldn't write all that down. It'd take forever. He's steadfast love for the thousandth generation. And also he says he is forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He forgives our iniquities, our transgressions, our sins, because of who he is, because of he is a righteous God. Now notice here, because he's a righteous God, because he's a holy God, it says here, but yet by no means clearing the guilty. God does not clear the guilty, the Bible tells us. What does he do? He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He's abounding in steadfast love, faithfulness, merciful, and gracious, but he doesn't clear the guilty. He redeems us, but does not clear us. Because clearing and redemption is a different thing. God will never wink at sin and say, it's all right, buddy. You can just have a little sin in your life and it'll be okay. God's never like that. God is a holy God, a righteous God. He hates sin, every sin. He knows what it does to his children. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's life everlasting. He does not clear the guilty. He redeems us. That's who our God is. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world, past, present, future, all people's sins was atoned for right there. We have to accept that gift of salvation, because God, He didn't just clear the guilty and ignore sin. It has to be dealt with. Sin must be dealt with in our lives. Jesus did it for us. Why would we wait? Elsewhere, when God speaks from heaven in the Gospel of Luke, if you'll turn with me, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. I'll give you a second to find it while I turn there. God also says about Himself, when Christ was baptized, Luke chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord says, well, we'll begin in verse 21, now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized, He was praying. The heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. What a wonderful picture of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity. He said the Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are My Son, the Beloved. With You I am well pleased." Jesus Christ is God's only Son, the Bible tells us. And that is who God is well pleased with. We need to remember that. Who is God saying He is? He said He is well pleased with His Son, Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in Luke chapter 9, if you go with me, verse 35, the Bible tells us, go with me to verse 34. While He was saying this, a cloud came overshadowed them, and they were terrified. And as they entered the cloud, verse 35, then the cloud came a voice and said, "This is My Son, My chosen. Listen to Him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things that they had seen. He says there, listen to Him. So many of God's children are still refusing to listen to God. So many people refusing to listen to God. He saw His glory right there. He said, listen to Him. Listen now to Him, as King James says. Listen to God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And our last one, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 28. 12:28. Well, beginning in 27, the Lord says, "Now my soul is troubled." This is Jesus. "And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." He's praying to God the Father. "Now it is for the reason that I come to this hour." 28, "Father, glorify Your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." God spoke from heaven. He has glorified it, and He will glorify it again. God will give Himself glory every day, and we ought to be living to the glory of the Father. That's what Jesus did. We're called Christians, so we should be like Christ, as the Word says. Father, help us. Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." He will get glory. You will give God glory. In verse 29, the crowd standing there heard Him and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to Him." Even back then, this very day, people are refusing to listen, as Jesus recorded right there, back there in the other gospel. "This is My beloved Son. Listen now to Him." Still, on here in Gospel of John, they're still refusing to listen. Said it was just a little thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to Him. Verse 30, Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for Mine." 31, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to Myself." When He was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. That's who God says He is. He's holy. He's righteous. He's merciful. He's loving. But He is a holy God. Believe in God, Jesus says. This God that says, "This is My beloved Son. Listen thou to Him." This is the one that spoke to Him, "I will be glorified. I've glorified My name." This is the God that we confess we believe in. He's a holy, He's a righteous God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. But He is righteous. Do not let your hearts be troubled, back in John 14. Believe in God. We see who God says He is. It's not who people say He is. People will say all sorts of things and ignore the Word of the living God. Isn't it amazing that God has given us His Word? Jesus was the Word made flesh, but this is the Word, written Word, of the living God. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. If we believe in God, as we see reflected in those Gospels we just got through reading verses in, believe also in Me. Jesus is God's Son, whom He is well pleased. Listen to Him, He tells us. If we believe Him, we believe in God, we're going to believe in Jesus the Son. Verse 2, "In My Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" One translation, it says, "In My Father's house there's plenty of room King James says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Glory to God, big old mansions. These mansions down here, they ain't nothing compared to our Father's house. But the glorious thing, when we get there, the Bible talks about gates are made out of pearl and there's streets of gold. There's all these amethysts and all these hard to pronounce beautiful jewels that Revelation talks about. That's what the city we made out of. We won't care about gold. It's worthless there. They pave the streets with it. We won't care about pearls. They make gates out of them. We don't hoard up asphalt down here below. We won't hoard up gold up there later. They use it to build stuff with. We won't be concerned about a bunch of mansions or treasures like that. We'll be there with God, our Heavenly Father, if you know Him as Savior. In verse 2, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. There's room enough in the Father's house. There's room for me and for you and for all people who will call upon His name. But there will so many times there'll be places that are empty, because God has prepared a place for people. He's prepared a place for everybody. But so many refuse to follow Him. Just like back there, a couple chapters before in John, the people still refuse. They said, oh, it's not God's voice. It's just a bunch of thunder or some angel said it. That's the voice of Almighty God. People say that this very day about the Word of God we're reading right now, that it's just nothing. Some Gospel of John, they'll think, oh, John just wrote that by himself. He didn't. It was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. There is room enough. Don't throw away that gift that God has given us. There are many dwelling places. There is room enough in our Heavenly Father's house. He is our Heavenly Father. He'll take care of us. We can trust Him. We need to be preparing for this place. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus is gone, going. He's gone now. He was fixing to go and prepare a place for them. He's prepared a place for us. He's not going to lie to us. You'll never find in the Word of God where Christ lied, because He's perfect. Never once did He sin. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, He was in every way tempted. Every sin there ever was, Christ was tempted by it. Yet found without sin. I'll never be tempted every sin there is. There's more sins we can count. Neither will you, but Christ was. Yet found without sin. He was the perfect propitiation, the perfect sacrifice for us. Not only for us, but for the sins of the whole world. He says here in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Christ's going to get the place ready for us. He went and got the place ready for His children. He's coming back to get us one of these days. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Revelation tells us, be careful that your name is not blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, be thou faithful unto the end. Let's be faithful to the end of our lives or the end of this age, because Jesus is coming back one of these days. He's gone to prepare us a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. As it says elsewhere in the Bible, people have been saying that way on back since the ancient of days. Somebody will come and say, well, they told me all my life Jesus is coming back. He ain't come yet. He will. He'll be here one of these days. We will meet Him either by death or He comes back. He says here, I will come again. We need to watch and pray. If we knew, Jesus said over and over, if we knew when the thief was going to break in our house, we'd be up waiting for him. We ought to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch and pray, He tells us. Watch and pray. I will come again and will take you to myself. He will come again. He's going to bring us to himself. Jesus is going to come get us and take us to the Father's house, to himself. What a glorious thing. So that where I am, there you may be also. Where He's at, we can be for all eternity. We'll be with Jesus forever. That's a glorious thing. Right now, in this down here in this world, this temporary world, we can be living for Him. We can live in fellowship with Him. He is the way to the Father, as He's fixing to tell us. Where I am, there ye may be also. Glory to God. We can be with Him for all eternity. It's not a temporary thing. It was a sad thing the Sadducees believed back in those days. They believed there was no resurrection. This was it. It's as good as it gets. What a terrible thing to believe. This world with all its woes, that this is the best it's going to be? For a lost person, it is. For someone that refuses Jesus Christ, this is the best you're ever going to get. That's not what this is going to be for the saints of God. This is the worst it's going to be. For all eternity, we'll be with Christ. Right now, we can follow Him, for Christ reigns. He is the glory of the Father. He says here, excuse me. There you may be also. In verse 4, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. You know the way to the place where He's going. Where is He going? To be with the Father up in heaven. The Bible says He sat down on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, His throne room, that great white throne where every person will stand in judgment before God. But for the saints of God, we'll stand there as His children, go on into eternity, into paradise. Just like Jesus tells us about the separating of the sheep and the goats. So many up there will be on the goat pile, and they'll be thrown away, thrust out of the kingdom, as the Bible tells us, because they rejected God. They didn't follow him. It says, did we not pray in your name, do miracles in your name, do all these things? Depart from me, I never knew you. That's what the Bible says. Lord, help us. He says here, verse 4, and you know the way to the place where I'm going to be with the Father. Not only did he go to the right hand of the Father, he sat down. If you'll notice in the temple and the tabernacle, there was no chairs to go take a rest in because the work was never finished. It was all pointing forward to the cross of Christ being lifted up. Now, after he shed his blood on Calvary and rose from the dead, the work is finished. Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Our redemption was taken care of ahead of time. But now we must accept it. Now it's in your court. The ball's in your court. Every day we choose, are we going to live for God or are we going to reject him? And you know the way to the place where I'm going, but Christ sat down on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. It is finished. The work was done. In the ancient days especially, when you're done doing something, you go sit down. It was symbolic. Your work was done. In the throne room of kings, he was the only one that got to sit down up on that ledge. Jesus sat down with God the Father. He says here in verse 5, Thomas said to him, excuse me, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Old Thomas, we don't know. In verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're looking for the way. So many people's looking for the way to heaven, for the way to the peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You can try all you want down here in this world. People try to fill it with alcohol, with other drugs, with the sins of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, pornography. We could just keep going on down the road of things people try to fill their lives up, to fill the void that they because their hearts are troubled. It will never work. It's never worked before. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. People's been trying it. Solomon says that he's tried it all. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the word of God. He says here, there's no other way to get this peace. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. Jesus said, I am the way. He's the way to peace. He's the way to the truth. He's the way to Heavenly Father. He is the way. He's not going to tell us the way. He is the way. Through his shed blood on Calvary and his resurrecting from the dead, he's made the way. He's bridged the gap between us and heaven, between us and eternity, between us and Heavenly Father. God's not some distant God out there striking lightning bolts at us. He's our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. We can't bring all these things to him to earn his favor. Jesus did it for us. He says here, Jesus said to him, he's saying to us, I am the way. He is the truth, he says. I am the way and the truth. Pontius Pilate said to Jesus when he was interrogating, what is truth? He was looking at truth. He was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. He said, I am the truth. He's not the lie. The truth will set you free, the Bible says. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Are you set free? Do you have the peace of God ruined in your hearts? Is your heart troubled this morning? He says here, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. The truth of the matter is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and need of the redemption through Jesus Christ. We need it every day. It's not a one-time thing. We get it done back yonder and we just follow however we live. We got a little fire insurance. Don't have to worry about hell now. That's not how the Word of God teaches it. That's not how Jesus teaches it. We have to be right with God right now, every day. Going on to salvation, as John Wesley said, we need to be living in sanctified lives, not turning back to perdition. As the Bible says, as dogs return to their vomit. We don't need to do that. We need to live for the Lord and stay close to him. That devil, what the Bible says, he's prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not scared of the sheep. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. A lion, he ain't scared of no sheep. He's scared of the shepherd. What did King David do? He killed the bear and the lion, the Bible says, when he was a shepherd. Christ, one day, will take the devil and the false prophet and throw all those with the Antichrist spirit into the lake of fire, the Bible tells us, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That devil, his days are numbered. But our days are not numbered. We have eternal life through Christ Jesus, if you know the Lord as Savior. He's not scared of me and you. The devil, he fears the shepherd. So we, as God's sheep, need to stay close to the shepherd. What happens if sheep get out here in the ways of the world, get marred up in the mud? An old sheep is going to die pretty quick, or it'll get devoured one. or both. We need to stay close to the shepherd. He'll protect us. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I love the pictures of the good shepherd. I believe there's a stained glass window here of it. Yeah, right there. Of Jesus guiding the sheep, guiding his lambs. He's holding one of them. What a glorious thing that God does. He holds us close to his heart. A lot of times when one of them was injured, the shepherd would carry it around when it was little. And he could hear his heartbeat and slowly get better and learn to trust him more and more. We need to stay close to God and learn to trust him more. You can't learn to trust the Heavenly Father if you're far away from him, if you're refusing to live for him, but if we stay close to him. The Bible says, my cup runneth over. If I got a glass of tea and you got a pitcher and you're way out yonder and I won't go to you, my cup's not going to overflow with it. If we're staying far away from God, our cup of the Holy Spirit will never overflow. We got to stay close to him. He says here, he is the truth. That's the truth of the matter. He is the truth. He's not going to tell us about it. Jesus is truth, and the truth has set us free. Not only that, he says, I am the life, eternal life. People down here below that don't know the Lord as Savior, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, if you don't have his salvation, if you're not born again, you don't have life. You have existence. You simply exist in this world, but there's no life. Life is deeper than that. It's a precious gift from God. We just exist in this world. There's no life. There's no meaning to it without the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is the life. Life down here below. If you want to live a life down here below that's worthy, you got to know Jesus as Savior. Otherwise, it's all for vanity. Been to funeral homes, and I've saw people that they've got some fine watches, some fine jewelry on their body when they're laying there dead. It's not with them in heaven. It stayed right there, and they'll throw it in the ground when they bury that person. It's temporary. But what we have in heaven with our redemption is eternal life. We have life down here below. Kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not things down here below, but it is righteousness and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and he is the life, and he is eternal life. We can have life down here below, and life more abundant, Jesus said. It is a joy of the Heavenly Father to give unto you the kingdom. It's a free gift. So often we want to earn it. Work for it. You can't. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift, a free gift of God. We can try all we want to be good enough for God. Without Jesus, we're nothing. Without him, we are nothing. But with him, we are children of God. He is the way to God the Father and to heaven. He is the truth, never lie, not full of guile. And he is the life and eternal life. And notice here what he says. No one, not a person, no man nor woman, no one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. You won't be there. Mark it down. Can't be there. That's the requirement. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we go to our Creator. Because who was there? The Bible tells us back there how God the Father, through Jesus Christ, made this world. He created the world in Genesis. He said this was good. This was good. When he came to man, he didn't just speak us into existence. What does it say? The Lord God formed man out of clay. Out of the dust of the ground. God got his hands dirty to create me and you. He didn't just speak us to existence, but he formed us as a potter does with clay. The Bible tells us that he is the potter, we are the clay, as we sing in that hymn sometimes, brothers and sisters. He is our creator. Before you were in the belly of the womb, I knew thee, the Bible says. I formed thee. He knit us together in our mother's womb. God created us. He loves us. We can trust him. No one comes to the Father except through me. We ought to want to get to know our Creator, want to know him. There's nobody more powerful than him. We read about him, how glorious he is back there in Exodus on Mount Sinai. Earlier, the Bible talks about that day of Pentecost back then. In the Old Testament, when God was dictating, he gave them the Ten Commandments. Imagine hearing the voice of God thunder through the mountains. Well, they heard it, and they were so scared that they told Moses, you go up there and do on our behalf. We don't want to deal with this. We don't want to hear him anymore. They were so scared. Because their heart was truly far from God. What did they do when Moses left? They turned away from him. Their heart was far from him. Brother and sister, if our heart's right with God, we go straight to God, our Heavenly Father. We don't have to be scared. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That doesn't mean I need to walk outside and scared that God hates me. Because God loves you, he sent Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the reverence for God. We know who God is, and we want to know God. Because he cares about you. He cares about every detail of our lives. There's nothing too small that we can come to God, because what are we? Mere created beings. Our biggest problems are tiny to God. Our smallest problems are still tiny to God. Take everything to God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Do everything through prayer. Pray about everything. The Bible says that. He says, if you can't do it for the glory of God, to get it out of our lives. He says here, no one comes to the Father except through me. We want to come to the Father. Know him as Savior. Know him as our Heavenly Father. Don't be an acquaintance with him. Know him as your best friend. He's always there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Don't forsake him. In verse 7, if you know me, you will know my Father also. Excuse me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. In verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Or what's satisfying in your life? A lot of times people won't be satisfied. You can't be satisfied with enough. Nothing's ever enough. Not enough land, not enough things piled up in the house, not enough lust of the flesh. It's never enough for so many. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. They'll be satisfied. Are you satisfied enough with God? If God did to you like he did to old Job and took everything you owned, everything from you, would you still be satisfied with him? Would you say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That ought to be our prayer, because God is enough. Is his love for you enough? So many people don't care about God's love. They're too busy looking to please other people and earn their love. You can't earn God's love. He already loves you. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness through Jesus Christ. We will be satisfied with the Father, who says, verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? No matter how long someone's said they're a Christian, if you've never been born again, it's no count. It doesn't help. You truly have to be born again. Know the Lord as Savior. Know him truly, not trying to earn it, but know him by love. We do good works out of love for him. If you're truly saved, those are the fruits that will bear forth out of you. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Walked all that time. Whoever has me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. They're distinct beings, but they are of one essence, the Bible tells us. I and the Father are one. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, but you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We can ask our same question now. Do we believe it? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The Bible says if you're not confessing that, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's alive in this world. We're not waiting on some Antichrist figure in Revelation to say all these things. It's happening right now. It's a spirit of wickedness, the spirit of the Antichrist, as the Bible warns us about. If it does not confess Jesus as the Son of God, it's of the Antichrist. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. It's not just his. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. He does his work through Jesus Christ, the work of redemption. God did it through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The work of sanctification, we do it by faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to go on to perfection as it's taught by Jesus Christ, by grace. He says here, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Verse 12, verily, verily, I tell you, this is truly, truly, very truly, I tell you, this is something important he's saying, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. The one that believes in me, if our belief is in God, our faith is well founded, it's on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, but it's not in vain. It's not just a dead faith, as James says, faith without works is dead. It's not going nowhere, it's going somewhere. It's bearing fruit for God, fruit of righteousness and peace, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of God, not man's righteousness, which changes from day to day, from country to country, but God's righteousness from the Word of God. He says here, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Glory to God. And in fact, we'll do greater works than these. You can read the book of Acts and see some of these great works. A man was begging out there outside the temple. He said, you have some money for me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man rose up and walked. He was lame, could not. Greater works than these. So many say that the gifts of God, of prophecy, of all these things, of divine healing, they ceased when the apostles died. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. This is a promise for us. We can live for God by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is still alive today. The Holy Spirit's still working today. He's still working miracles. He's still redeeming. He's still healing. He's still on the throne. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Let me turn back here. We'll be right back here in John, but I want to read to you from the end of the Gospel of Mark about those that follow the Lord. He says here in verse 14 of Mark chapter 16, the end of the book, he says, later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness. He reprimanded them. Let's not have lack of faith and stubbornness. Let's believe God and follow Him. Not be stiff-necked as the children of Israel so often were, as we can be, but let's follow Him. Because they had not believed those who had saw Him after He had risen. They did not believe what God said in verse 15. And He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news. That's the gospel. To the whole creation. Everybody. Verse 16. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved. It rings true today. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. As King James says, will be damned. That's a sad thing. It's not what God wants. He wants everybody in heaven. There's room enough in the Father's house. Don't reject Him. Verse 17. And these things will accompany those who believe. They'll accompany those who believe back then. They'll accompany us to this very day. By using my name in the name of Jesus, he says, they will cast out demons. That authority was given to God's people. They will cast out demons. A lot of people don't believe in that. A lot of people call it ghost or call it that. When people die, they're gone. They ain't coming back to this world. But a demon will have no problem showing up at Gettysburg and saying that he's some ghost of some Civil War soldier to try to mess with somebody. These are not spirits of people. There's the wicked spirits of this devil and the evil spirits of this world. But God's children have authority. In what name? The name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. The devil's alive and active in this world. But God is more powerful. And His name is the name above all names. The demons tremble. When Jesus cast out demons, they said, what will you have to us, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God? They confessed it. They knew it. It is not yet time, they said. They knew what they're coming for. They know what Revelation says, that they will be cast into hell for torment for eternity. The demons themselves know it, and they bow at the name of God. The devil himself went before God in the book of Job and had to ask. The devil doesn't have power over God. God is more powerful. Stay close to the shepherd. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues, the Bible tells us. Verse 18, they will pick up snakes in their hands. Now, that doesn't mean we go kick around a bush and pick one up and throw it over our shoulder. Don't tempt the Lord. They will pick up snakes in their hands. I've heard stories of men that were being attacked by a snake. In the name of Jesus, they picked it up and moved it out of the way. That's not bringing them down here to the altar and throwing them around. There's a difference. Following God, pick up the snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. There's a story, I believe it was John. He had his chalice to drink, and someone had poisoned him. Turned into a serpent, the poison did, crawled out. He didn't die from it. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. I don't mean go get us a glass of arsenic and drink it with our lunch. It means that God will protect us for trusting in Him when the time is right. Just as the Holy Spirit said, don't prepare what you're going to say beforehand. He said, I will give you the words at that moment. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover, the Bible tells us. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If any man is sick, if any woman is sick, have the elders of the church come, and the prayer of faith shall heal them. Lord, help us. Sometimes people don't get well. That may be in God's will. But they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. I heard a story once. I can't remember the name of the pastor. It was back in the early 1900s. But they called him and another friend of his to go pray over this man. He was dying. By the time they got there, he was dead. So they both stood there. The first guy prayed, and he's just praying, Lord, we commend his spirit. And it was real gloomy, very sad. The guy said, man, you got to hold back. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and poured over God for that man. That man came back to life. He recovered. Sometimes that's in God's will. Sometimes it's not. But we ought to pray for it anyways. They will recover. Verse 19, so then the Lord Jesus, after He had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. They went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere. That's the gospel of the Lord, that Jesus died and rose again. While the Lord worked with them and confirm the message with the signs that accompany them. They confirm the message. The Lord work with them. Let's work with the Lord. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, back in John 14, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, will also do the works, he says. And in fact, will do greater works than these. Jesus wasn't kidding when he was telling us this. He intends to use me and you to build his kingdom. He intends to use me and you for his righteousness and his glory to bring the gospel to those around us and to do as he told us back there in Mark. He that believeth is saved. He that believeth not is damned. Let's believe the word of God, because that's what God wants for us all. Because I'm going to the Father. He's new. He's fixing to go to the Father, the Bible tells us in verse 12. I am going to the Father. Jesus went up to the Father. That's where he's at to this very day. Who is his body of Christ? We are. We're the representatives of God down here below. When someone from America is an ambassador, as the Bible calls us, we're the ambassadors of Christ. Someone from America is an ambassador, go over to Israel, they are representing the United States interests. If they go there, or if they go up there to Europe, or go wherever they may go, they are representing the United States interests. Me and you, we are representing Christ's interest in this world. We're representing God the Father's righteousness down here below. It's not of our own ways. We're bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Our ways turn aside this way and that way, but Christ's ways are the straight and narrow way. Let's follow his way. His way are higher than our ways. Our ways mess it up. He says here, I'm going to the Father. As Christ ascended into heaven, the Bible says he will in like manner return there on the Mount of Olives. The book of Acts tells us. But while here, right here in this time, we're born for such a time as this. We're born here in this time period for a reason, to be the ambassadors of Christ, to take his truth and love to those around us. In verse 13, the Bible tells us, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, doesn't mean, Lord, I'd like a brand new shiny car and a mansion down here below. That's not glorifying the Father. He says here, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified through the Son, in the Son. How much a difference this world would be if we as God's children would purpose in our heart like Daniel did as a teenager. Back there in the book of Daniel, it says he purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine that they drank. How much a difference would it make if we as God's children took these verses truly to heart? He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If we lived our lives to glorify God the Father, everything, every little bit, what a difference it'd make. Why is this country in the shape it's in? We need to pray for our nation. It's in great, great distress. We look around us, it's no secret. Babies are murdered every day in the United States. There's violence in the streets, wickedness all around us, sin celebrated on billboards. I saw them on the way to church this morning, coming up 411. It's everywhere. Why is that? It's not the lost peoples. Lost people act like lost people because that's what they are. They're lost. It's the children of God who have led this place astray because we have not took the word of God seriously so often. That's not every person, every individual. So many are faithful people of God. But we as God's children really need to get the word of God seriously and listen to him. This world's falling apart all around us, isn't it? It's easy for us to blame it and say, that's just the end times. That's just how it's going to happen. We need to be living for God, sharing his gospel everywhere we go, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's live for the glory of God. In verse 14, if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of God. He says here in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be with you. This is the Holy Spirit who's with us every day. Jesus Christ is with us and the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to be with the Father. That's where we will be also. And he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you orphaned. Or as King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. I am coming to you. In a little while, this world will no longer see me. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. This world's not our final home. It's our mission field. It's where we're the ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of work to do down here below by God's grace. So let's do it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If we believe God, if we believe his word, that we will do as the book of Matthew tells us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, are you going to the place called heaven? Do you truly know the Lord as Savior? Glory to God if you do. Take a moment to reflect on your life. Is there a corner in your heart that you're allowing the devil to have dominion of instead of the King of Kings? Is there a corner in your life that's hindering you from serving the Lord with gladness and coming before His presence with glad singing? Is there something in your life that's keeping you from serving Him? One day we will be with the Father, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Take a moment and reflect on it. Talk to the Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, as we prayed earlier, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. Help us, Lord, to live for you every day and to take your word seriously, Lord. Hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee, Lord, that we may be vessels in your hands to be used of you, Lord, that your promises stand today and your Holy Ghost is still filling people. You're still filling us up to live for you. We thank you, Father, for that promise. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. Bless all those gathered outside listening, Lord. Bless all people beyond. Help us to take the Holy Spirit in our heart every day. And as you bid us be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with your word, that we may be your witnesses here below as we're traveling the straight and narrow way unto you, our Heavenly Father. Keep us safe and in thy will, Lord, as we depart from this place. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.